Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for allowing us to be gathered together here to hear your word. Not my word, but your word. Father, please be my mouthpiece. Use me as you will. Let this message first touch me and then those who are listening. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I like catchy sermon titles, so I hope this doesn't let you down. Touch, you're it. What's a touch? Touch is light contact. Now, I don't know if it's the same now, but years ago, they were said that if a female touches a man, not just on the hand or the neck, they'll know, a man knows it's a female, and vice versa. But now with these men with their man bags and they got more lotions than you women, and their hands are so nice and soft, you don't know who's touching you. But still, it's touch nonetheless. We used to have a game we used to play in Bristol, and only thing I can call it is a beating game. Doesn't sound very pleasing. What we used to do, now if I move away from the mic, I'll try and raise my voice so you can still hear me. What we used to do, we used to stand in a circle facing inwards, and one person was chosen first, and they'd put a rolled up newspaper in their hand. Oh, I guess right, so it's not just me then. And everyone in the circle had to close their eyes, put their hands behind their back, and wait to see if the newspaper landed in your hand. Now, it wasn't a big newspaper. It was just a rolled up newspaper. It wasn't too big. It was the fun of contact, touch. So what would happen is the person who's chosen would go around the circle. Now, you've got your eyes closed, remember, and your hands are doing this, like, me. Then the newspaper would be put in someone's hands. Now, they wouldn't move straight away. They'd wait until the person who gave you the newspaper went back to their place. And then everyone opened their eyes. Now, of course, they're looking around, who is it? And everyone's smiling, wondering, I wonder who it is. And then the person who has it would take that newspaper and whop the bottom of the person to your right. Now, what you had to do, you probably only got one strike, and you had to run as fast as you could around the circle, and once you got home, they could hit you again. Now, sometimes when us men are fortunate, we'd have a female beside us. Now, of course, we were very respectful. So we would probably go tap and let them run. And they wouldn't run very fast because men were quite quick. I mean, some of the girls were quick anyway. But, and then we may give them two or three knocks and they get around. And then someone else's turn. Woe betide if the person who's next to you was a male. He'd give you what for, and then you ran as fast as you could. Now, that was one game. Now, another tame game. Now, touch it. Another tame game we would play would be have two lines equal, and you number off one to how it was on both sides. And you would put like a shoe or a bottle or something in the center, and someone would call out, number one. Now, bear in mind, both numbers are equal on both sides of the line. Now, both number ones would come out, and now the object was to pick up the device, bottle, shoe, whatever it is, and run back to your side without getting caught. Now, you'd have some people who are very, very clever. They would go down. They know they wouldn't have a chance because the person on the other side is too fast for them. So they would bend down, and they'll go, the person would touch you, Now, once you touched you, they couldn't touch you again, and then you could kind of pick the bottle up or whatever and walk to the other side. But then it was amazing that the stalemates then used to call, number two, number three, number four, and everyone's come and you. That's a game you used to play. I had a cousin. We used to love playing touch. And he said to me, now he was from Birmingham, he said to me, can we play a game of TIG? I thought, TIG? What's TIG? He said, don't you know TIG? You know where you run, you touch. Oh, touch. So touch could be called different names in different languages. But that was it. Jesus had just driven demons out of a man into 2,000 pigs, and the people of the district were not pleased and asked him to kindly leave. This is found in Mark 5:11-17 in the Message Bible. So Jesus got into the boat and crossed the lake and met a crowd of people on the other side who were pleased to see him. Mark 5:21. One of the meeting place leaders, named Jairus, had heard that Jesus had healed many people, and he had had an only daughter who he loved, who was gravely ill. The fact the Bible mentions Jairus by name, he must have been a well-known man. Luke 8:40-42. They call him the president of the meeting place. Ellen White in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, Chapter 27, called Jairus one of the rulers of the synagogue. Jairus searched and found Jesus at the house of Levi, where Jesus was faint and weary from teaching and healing and about to be fed. In the house of Levi. The spirit of prophecy says, Jairus fell at Jesus' feet as he was sat at the table. Pleading fervently with all his passion he could muster for his only child, only 12 years old. Pleading with Jesus to come to his house. My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray, come and lay your hand on her that she may be healed. I don't know how long Jairus' daughter was actually sick. Spirit of prophecy says the father was in great distress because most learned physicians had given up on his daughter, saying there was nothing more they could do for her. Now, when we have a child that is sick, I guess the first thing we should be doing is going on bended knee and asking the Lord to intervene. But I guess sometimes the first place we run to is our medicine cabinet. And doctors. Now bear in mind that is important. That is important. But it is more important to ask God to give us strength so we can petition him and so the doctors can have more of a field in what they can do for him. Jesus at once responded to go with the stricken parents. This surprised the disciples how quickly Jesus agreed to go with them. Proud, arrogant, pompous, snobbish, patronizing, vain, the spirit of prophecy says he was a haughty ruler. Haughty with all those words I said, proud, arrogant, pompous. But even Jairus didn't live far from the house of Levi, so I guess it wasn't too far. Jesus went with Jairus straight away, and all the people followed and crowded around him. Now, what normally happened wherever Jesus went, from point A to point B, wherever Jesus went, he would heal people as he went along. Whether he would give them word of encouragement, or they would get healing. But it was normal what happened. So the crowd of people followed. Some wanted healing. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. In a New Living Translation. There was a woman in the crowd who had been suffering for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered at the hands of many doctors. They took all her money, yet had not healed her. In fact, she got worse. Mark 5, 27 to 29. And Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, Chapter 27. Doctors said she was incurable. The woman had heard of Jesus and how he had healed people, so probably thought, I've got nothing to lose and so much to gain. She got behind him and said to herself, if I can just touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. So she did so, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Where was Jairus at this time? He must have been getting impatient and probably thought, what is Jesus doing? Didn't he hear me? I told him my daughter, my only daughter, is dying. He said he was coming. I know there are sick people in the crowd, but I was first. This is me saying this, of course. Why don't he just tell them to wait their turn? And after all, he was sitting down and eating when I called to see him. What would you have done? Would you have been patient? Or would you have been like Jairus? Or would you have hoped that where Jesus is, I can gain a blessing? Mark chapter 5, verse 30. To 33. Thankful, the woman tried and tried to disappear, but Jesus stopped because he felt energy discharged from him. He turned to the crowd and asked, "Who touched me? Or who touched my robe?" His disciples questioned him and said, "Well, Lord, there's people around you. Of course someone's going to touch you." But this touch was different. Jesus had the power. That's where the source was. I actually stopped into one of the Sabbath school classes, and I was very impressed with the story I was told and the experiment they did. They had a torch, and they said, the torch represents the power you get when you contact with Jesus. But the torch on its own was useless without the battery. And then they had a lamp. Now, the lamp was good, but without the bulb, the lamp was useless. But if they had the lamp, and put the bulb in, the lamp was good. But even then, unless you plug the lamp in, the lamp was useless. But even more to the point, if you put the bulb in, plug the lamp in, but didn't switch the switch on, what good was that lamp? So people that have been walking by and brushing past Jesus just to get by, get to the other side, that's one thing in itself. But this woman, now they don't give her a name. We never know what her name was. So she was unimportant. Or was she? She's who we are. We're unimportant to people, but not to God. Unless we plug the lamp in and switch it on to gain the source, we too cannot gain the blessing, the healing that the woman had. Sometimes our healing isn't only physical. I don't know what you are like, but I'm told that most men, when they're sick, tend not to go to the doctor straight away until we're on our death's door. I've not been well for a little while, and I have a phobia of vomiting. I know it sounds horrible. I'll fight it tooth and nail. If I'm gonna, I'll suppress it. I'll do what I can. I'm not. But then it comes a point when all else, that I have to let it go. And the thought of is horrible. And then, but yet still, once I've been sick, I go, men tend to over-exaggerate probably, I don't know. That's what I've been told. When my wife is ill, she just gets on with them, cooks the meal and does this and cleans the house. And I tend to say, aren't you ill? Yeah, but I've got things to do. And when I'm ill, I'm in bed, duvet on, hot water bottle if I got one. Won't go to the doctor, mind you. I just lay in bed until it... It is important for us that physical illness is one thing. Spiritual illness is more important. How often do we open our Bible to get the source? How often do we open our Bible to get the source, but don't flick the switch on? It's important, as we know, to have the lamp. But the lamp with the bulb without switching on is useless. But isn't it funny that once you start meeting Jesus first thing in the morning, it's amazing how your day goes. Sometimes you're going to spend 2 minutes, and then you're still surprised that that 2 minutes is effective. And you say, well, okay, perhaps I'll try 5 minutes. And I get a little earlier. But that's how I found. Now, Jesus said again, who touched me? Because this was a different touch. And the woman came trembling, because now he's looking at her now. Now, Jesus knew who touched him. But this was for the people to know the importance of faith and relying on him. Now, the Bible said she... told the whole story of what happened. But where was Jairus? Now bear in mind, he said, my daughter's gravely ill. Now I imagine him grabbing hold of Jesus' elbow and said, yeah, okay, enough. She's healed. Let's go now. And if you're telling a story of what God's done for you, you don't just say, oh, I was healed, that's it. You want to tell everyone how and what stage so someone listening can gain a blessing. Because someone's going through what you went through. And they don't have a clue how to get from one point to the other. But when they hear your message of what God has done for you, they go, oh, that's interesting. Like the man in the field who fell down the well. He fell in the hole. And he couldn't get out. And he was crying out, help, help. Until he was actually faint with exhaustion. And then a man came across and he heard the cry. He said, hello. The man said, help me, help me. The man on the top jumped down into the hole. The man who was in the hole said, why do you do that? Now we're both stuck. But the man who jumped in the hole said, aha, I fell in this hole a few weeks ago. I know the way out. When you've gone through something, share it with somebody. Because that touch that God has given you, if you don't share with someone, they can't get the blessing. It's nice that God's been with you and blessed you. You can't keep it to yourself. You must share it. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, Jesus says, daughter, you took a risk of faith and now you're healed. And hold, live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. What was Jairus thinking this time? Come on, Jesus, she's healed now. She told a long story. Let's go. Well, actually, that's not what happened. The spirit of prophecy says, the same chapter says, the delay of Jesus had been so intensely interesting and in its result that even the anxious father felt no impatience but watched the scene with deep interest as the healed woman was sent away comforted and rejoicing. It encouraged him to believe still more firmly that Jesus was able to grant his own petition and heal his daughter. Hope grew stronger in his heart. Now he urged the Savior to hasten to his home. While on his way, messengers came and told Jairus his daughter had died. Jesus heard this and encouraged Jairus, "Fear not, believe, and your daughter will be made whole." Hearing these words of hope, Jairus drew close to Jesus. When Jesus sees the damsel, he takes her by the hand and said, "Damsel, arise." Two main people. One name was important, other woman not, allegedly. One begged Jesus to touch and heal his daughter in his way, little faith. One had tremendous faith in touching but the hem of his clothing. Yes, both believed in the source of Jesus. Both believed. Yet both believed. Did Jesus have to touch Jairus' daughter to heal her? No. Think of the centurion. He says, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Where are we in this? Touch, you're it.